today's issues continues on AFR.
Welcome back to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Our website, afr.net, afr.net on the web. You can download our app on your mobile device, and you can listen anywhere so long as you have an internet connection. So afr.net and download the American Family Radio app. Thousands of people download the app and listen each day, so it's a very convenient way to listen should you not have one of our FM radio signals in your area. So afr.net. We're also live streaming, as I've mentioned, on Facebook and YouTube. Fred Jackson and I here. Steve Jordahl joined us just during the break. Steve, give us the latest you have on this Hurricane Michael, I believe, is the name.
Michael is the name, and I'm reading right now that it is 7 miles an hour shy of becoming a Cat 5.
Oh.
Wow.
So, yeah, dangerous storm. There's a lot of coverage on the Weather Channel, certainly, and different media types. I was listening this morning coming in to Fox. It was about 7 o'clock local time here, and one of the reporters for Fox was saying, I'm sitting here at the beach, I'm doing this and that, and Janice Dean, I think it was, that came on and said, you need to get out of there now or you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
She was scared for this guy. So it's a dangerous hurricane, a well-formed eye, and it's going to hit right at Panama City.
Mm-hmm.
So and expected to hit, make landfall sometime around 1 o'clock.
Yeah, and just a note, on the people who like to ride it out. You know, you have private property, and you have the right, I guess, unless it's a mandatory evacuation, you have the right to ride it out, as they say. But just know that you are possibly putting first responders' lives in danger, who might have to come rescue you should you end up flooded or trapped in your house because you wanted to, quote, ride it out.
During the last hurricane that hit South Carolina, North Carolina, I remember that the governor there said, okay, right now, as of now, first responders will not come in the middle of the storm to get you.
Right.
You're on your own. Afterwards, we'll do our best, but we're not going to put our first responders. I mean, it's just too dangerous for them to be out there to rescue you. So, yeah, people are going to, and we've seen people in Florida, in the panhandle now, say, you know, I've been through many of these. I think this is going to be fine.
Right.
It may, but...
Yeah, you just don't know till it happens.
Yeah.
But the officials are warning people, you know, if you don't have the money or you work a job where you have to be there,
mm-hmm.
like a convenience store or something like that.
Well, even, yeah.
Or like a Walmart that's going to be open right after the storm to help people. You know, I can understand that. But if you can, if your circumstances permit, then I would encourage you to heed the warnings of the local officials, because I mean these people are professionals.
Yeah.
When they say it's a Cat 4, you know the storm surge is going to be this, and it's going to get this much rain. They're usually right with the computer models.
Yeah, I heard one lady. She's a nurse at a nursing home, and they were unable to evacuate all of the patients from the nursing home. So she says, mm-hmm. "I'm staying because someone has to take care of these men and women." So good, you know,
good for her.
I understand.
Yeah, and so onenewsnow.com on the top of the page is a story about Michael about to hit Florida. The headline is Michael about to hit Florida coast is a Category 4, and then as Steve mentioned, it may be a 5 if it speeds up. So what else you got, Steve?
I know you guys were talking last hour about some of the civility and lack thereof and all this debate that's going on. I think I mentioned yesterday, it's frustrating to me that whenever anybody calls for civility, it's Republicans that are saying, oh, we need to calm this down. We played the bite yesterday from Hillary Clinton. We can play it again. I have it, where she says you can't be civil with Republicans. Mm-hmm. And then I want to play after that. I want to play something that Chuck Grassley said last night to Martha McCallum as kind of a counterpoint. So this is Hillary a couple days ago talking about civility, cut 5.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about. That's why I believe if we are fortunate enough to win back the House and or the Senate, that's when civility can start again. But until then, the only thing that the Republicans seem to recognize and respect is strength.
So that's her call. Yeah, as soon as we have you guys down, under our thumb, then we'll be civil again to you. As usual, Republicans are the want to call for civility. And the heroes from this Kavanaugh thing come and go. Nobody thought a whole lot of
Lindsey Graham
until he spoke up. I mean, they did. I mean, he's a good guy, but wasn't a big warrior for conservative causes until he spoke up. Chuck Grassley has been taking an awful lot of credit for guiding this through the Kavanaugh thing through, and he was staunch in that. But this is what he said to Martha McCallum last night. I think this is the Republicans again saying, okay, we're going to make the first move to be civil.
If there is an opening on the court in the election year in 2020, do you believe that the Senate should take up a nomination during that period?
If I'm chairman, they won't take it up. No, because I pledged that in 2016, that if the ball is the same as it is. Now, if somebody else is chairman of the committee, they'll have to decide for themselves.
So
I hope somebody else is chairman of the committee.
You know,
we talked about this, I think maybe Monday or Tuesday, but it is different in the sense that President Trump is not a lame duck. And, I mean, we're not even in – we got to get past the midterms towards the end of his term, but he's running for re-election again. So that's the difference between President Obama was a lame duck president, as all presidents are at some point. And so, you know, it was a – not to mention Republicans held control of the Senate. So I would say to Democrats and to even Republicans like Chuck Grassley who say, well, you know, we're just not going to have a hearing. When you're in control, you are in control. And so I don't think it's some might say it's hypocritical for the Republicans to bring up maybe partially, but it is noted that it is a different circumstance, Fred.
Well, Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, was asked about this the other day, too. And he simply said, when you go back, and we're all talking about the Garland case, President Barack Obama nominating Garland to the Supreme Court in the final months of his presidency. And this is what McConnell says, is that President Barack Obama was about to leave office. Mm-hmm. And we ought not to consider a nomination to the Supreme Court until a new president. And what McConnell was saying, whoever won in 2016, November 2016, should have the right to choose who the next person is on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
So there is a distinction.
And I might eat my words here in the future when we get there, and I get really excited about another constitutional Supreme Court justice. But I think it depends on also how close we are, Steve, to the election, because if we're a year and a half out, such as, you know, after January, then I would say that's a long way, you know. But if we're 2 months out from the November 2020 election, I could see holding it off until after the election.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I think what the Republicans did in 2016 was nakedly partisan, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
They didn't want another seat for a Barack Obama. They were hoping that President Trump would win the election and be able to put someone up. When you listen to Hillary Clinton say that, describe the Republican Party as trying to tear down America, and that if they're execute the values that they have, that they're trying to do away with American values, she's not talking in general terms. She's framing Republicans as evil enemies.
Right.
And so when you have rhetoric like that going around from the Democrats, I don't think that now is the time. I don't think it's possible to reason with these people.
Right.
They're unhinged. So, you know, their word means nothing.
Right.
They would nominate somebody in a heartbeat they thought they were coming to get off out of office and could get them through. So I don't know. Grassley, you know, I'm sure that he wants to find comedy in the Senate.
If Democrats were in control of the Senate in 2016 when Merrick Garland was nominated, they sure would have pushed him through.
Absolutely.
Before November. So,
absolutely they would have.
Yeah, so it's the game, it's the Washington game where, you know, your standards kind of shift depending on who's in power.
At once I'm tired of all of the politics, you know, a pox on all their houses. But at the same time, I'm just tired of the Democrats playing hardball on Republicans thinking that we have to get along somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So we'll see how that goes. Ruth Bader Ginsburg is, I think, either 85 or 86. So we'll keep an eye on that. And I really doubt she'll retire voluntarily because, you know, she's that would really let the Democrats down, to say the least.
There's no way. I don't see that happening.
And not to mention this, we need to be ready for that should she retire or pass away because it's going to get very violent. This was I've said this was a PG-13 show. The Kavanaugh show was PG-13 compared to what Ginsburg will be.
Where are they left to go? How can they ratchet it up? And is it going to be the...
Like Rand Paul said, somebody might die. I don't think that's too far-fetched to say that.
I don't think it's too far-fetched to say that that could happen, but is that what the Democrats are going to aim for? I mean, are they going to try to literally encourage that?
I wouldn't say. I don't know. We'll just have to see. But their rhetoric... But your point is their rhetoric is
they've
already
left themselves nowhere to go.
Right. The next step is encouraging physical violence.
It is.
We'll see. But it honestly wouldn't surprise me if they did promote physical violence. I mean, Hillary Clinton just said it's not time to be civil.
No.
Cory Booker says get in their faces. So, like you said, what's next?
Yeah. All right. Let me just bring this up. Media Research Center does a great job at tracking how the press is covering all of this, and they are in the middle. They've released a report of the past 4 months of coverage for more than 1,000 evening news stories, 1,960 minutes of airtime on ABC, CBS, and NBC. They released this from June 1 to September 30th. They tallied each comment, and they decided they judged whether it was negative or positive towards President Trump. And they broke it down into five different subjects: the Trump-Russia collusion, immigration policies, Kavanaugh's nomination fight, the North Korea diplomacy, and relations with Putin. They found, going from the least negative up, with the Kavanaugh nomination fight, 82% of network news coverage was negative. With the North Korea diplomacy, I mean, this is by all accounts, North Korea has been a positive. I mean, it's been miraculous what's happened there, but ABC, CBS, and NBC reported 90% negatively on it. With regard to Trump's immigration policy in the wall, 94% negative coverage. With regard to Russian collusion, 97% of that coverage was negative towards the president. And with regards to relations with Russia, 99% of the media stories on the broadcast networks were negative toward the president.
Fred, I guess their audience is the hardcore anti-Trumpers, and I'm sure that's
at least that's what they think.
They've pretty much pushed out everybody else who might be in the middle or a Trump supporter. It's got to be all the anti-Trumpers watching CNN.
No, these journalists are all Democrats,
right?
They're all in for 95%. The Democratic Party. What's really interesting in that MRC survey is that they don't deal with the stories on the economy.
No, I haven't seen a story on the economy.
Here's the reason why those networks don't deal with the economics of the Trump economics. It's all positive. What possible negative story could you do that the unemployment rate is the lowest it has been in decades?
Right.
What possible negative story could you do that the unemployment rate for African Americans, Hispanics in this country is at historic lows? There are now more job openings than there are people to fill those jobs. The networks, the reason why you don't find stories on the economics there is because you can't do something negative about that. And so that's where people are, though. People are understanding. Look at what's happening. How do you do negative stories on the fact that a lot of people got bonuses?
Right.
Companies started to bring their operations back from offshore, started to bring them back to
and
the
everyone's federal income tax went down last year.
And everybody's so they want to stay away from those stories. The fact of the matter is, I just look at the rallies that President Trump has been doing just in the last two or three weeks. We're having thousands of people turn away. The rally that was in South Haven, Mississippi, just right. last week sometime. Mm-hmm. We have evidence from staff members here whose parents were going to that rally. Mm-hmm. They started to show up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We also heard that some were showing up at 5 o'clock in the morning in order to be at the doors to get in, because these aren't ticketed events.
Right.
So 5 o'clock in the morning, we're not talking about President Trump running for president right now. That's not until 2020. Mm-hmm. He is just showing up. And what is happening is the American public, and we're talking the middle of the road American public, are excited about what's going on. Mm-hmm. And it crosses racial lines. It crosses ethnic lines. But you're not going to hear those stories on these left-wing media.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Right.
They like to focus on these other things. You know, they're still upset about the Kavanaugh stuff, and that stuff is going to go on and on for some time, and the protests will be out there. You know, I like what you mentioned, Senator Grassley. He chastised the media there last Friday it was, when they showed up, and this was after the procedural vote ahead of the Saturday vote. And he was chastising them. He said, I've had pro-Kavanaugh people in my office, anti-Kavanaugh people in my office. You guys don't, apparently some reporters told Senator Grassley, we don't want to talk to the pro-Kavanaugh people.
Right.
We only want to talk to the anti-Kavanaugh people.
Yeah, the pro-Kavanaugh people, who some of them I know Penny Nance with Concerned Women of America, they were peacefully walking through the hallway with pro-Kavanaugh shirts on, and like you said, didn't get much coverage.
Nope.
Steve, I know before you get to the next news story, you mentioned that Hurricane Michael was between 10 and 15 miles per hour to being a Category 5.
That's what the last report I saw.
I'm not sure what the chart is, because this, a meteorologist on Fox News, or a local station in Florida, is saying that the winds are at 150 miles an hour. So I'm just wondering if it's gained any speed.
I'm looking up right now. I'm getting, because I know the... in my head, I know this, but Category 5 has to be 157 miles an hour or more.
Okay.
So if it's 150 around there, and it's getting to the point where enough of the storm is on land, it's probably not likely to increase by strength a whole lot. But by the same token, we expected, this was a Category 2 yesterday about this time.
Yeah, and so, the day before, Category 1.
Yeah, so... It's a dangerous storm, and we're looking at this Fox coverage you're talking about right now. That wall is really well formed. It looks very organized.
So Category 4, Fred, 150 miles per hour, and they're saying that this is the most powerful hurricane recorded to hit the Panhandle.
Absolutely right, and we talked a little bit earlier about the topography of that area, very flat. Mm-hmm. They're talking storm surges, 13, 14 feet, a possibility. We're talking about a surge coming in that would be over the roofs of some houses there. Mm-hmm. The surge, by the way, we keep talking about the Panhandle, and yes, that is the focus. However, that surge will affect that whole west coast.
Right.
Down to Tampa, St. Pete.
Tampa is in Tampa Bay, which is also a very flat area, 3 to 4 feet surge in there. Mm. Fort Myers, all of that area along that coast is going to be impacted by this as well. And once again, we need to remind people, even though Michael will drop in power as it hits the land.
The rain will not.
The rain will not. And so the areas that were hurt by Hurricane Florence just days ago.
Yeah.
Up along that coastline, South Carolina, North Carolina, up into Virginia, they're all going to get another douse of rain, which the soil yet has not dried out. So that's going to be another part of the story as we get in over the next couple of days.
Mm-hmm. The reason that the storm surge is so bad, and it's bad on the east side of the storm because that's where the wind is pushing. When a storm kind of hits a straight coastline like it did with Florence, it pushes inland, but it dissipates to the north and to the south as well, back out into the ocean. This is kind of like driving into a dead-end cul-de-sac. There's no place for to go, because if you picture the state of the Panhandle of Florida, north You go north and then it turns going south. Right. So you got a 45 degree angle right there that the storm is going right into. There's no place
so
for the water to go.
Inland.
There's
right.
no place except for inland for right. this water to go.
All right, Steve, we'll keep an eye on that. Next news story.
Well, another person who I am either very frustrated with or sometimes approve of. You never can tell. The Pope has been taking the Catholic Pope has been taking an awful lot of heat lately for allegations that he covered up and has been involved in rehabilitating some priests who were involved in the homosexual controversy,
right.
the priest abuse scandal. Well, last night, though, Pope Francis came out and had a word about abortion, and this is what he said. He said he asked if it was fair to take out a human life to solve a problem. Is it fair to hire a hitman to solve a problem? It's not fair. We cannot take out a human being, even if it is small.
Hmm.
He compared abortion to the mafia,
yeah.
taking out a strong statement. I mean,
yeah, strong and accurate too. So for those who email us and say we just like to bash the Pope, that's not true.
No,
because the Pope is correct on this occasion. So
at times he deserves bashing, but
yeah, good for him though.
Yeah, so strong. I've never taken that analogy. I never heard that analogy, but
right.
I think it makes sense. I certainly have heard the analogy of what's happening to unborn children to the Holocaust, which
yeah.
is about as bad an analogy or as negative an analogy when you draw something to Nazism. That's,
right.
but again, an accurate comparison.
Yeah, exactly right. Fred?
I know we only have about a minute and a half left.
Sure.
But we've been dealing with tensions between Republicans and Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have Steve, when we get off the air, try to locate the president of the College Republicans at Stanford University. His name is John Rice Cameron. Guess whose son he is?
Susan Rice.
Susan
Only because
Rice.
I'm cheating. I'm looking at your news story.
Former U.S. National Security Advisor under President Obama with Susan Rice. Her son, boy, I'd like to be at the dinner table of that family, is John Rice Cameron. Now, here's the story. He is charging a female student at Stanford University with assaulting him. All right?
Hmm.
What mama think of that? Apparently what he did was he set up a stand and he put a banner on it called Change My Mind.
Hmm.
He was simply inviting people to come up and talk to him about Kavanaugh, et cetera,
yeah.
et cetera.
And convince him.
And convince him that he was wrong for supporting Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
And according to the report is that a female student came up and shoved him, assaulted him. And so, but this is, the wild part of this story is here you have the son of
That's
former U.S. National Security Advisor Susan Rice, name is John Rice Cameron, changed his mind somewhere along the way about his politics, his mama's politics.
You know, I wonder if Susan Rice will denounce that. That would be
well,
interesting.
Well, yeah, her son is a victim, alleged victim of
yeah.
violence.
So maybe Susan Rice will be the first Democrat to denounce the violence that the media has been pushing forth.
We're going to watch this one real closely.
Yeah, interesting
Indeed.
Story.
Indeed.
All yeah. right, thanks, Steve, for coming in.
My pleasure.
All right, Fred.
Good to be here.
And we'll be keeping all the latest news stories covered at onenewsnow.com, especially Hurricane Michael as it's currently making landfall in the panhandle of Florida. Thanks for tuning in to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. More good shows coming your way the rest of the day. Stay tuned.